In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Wednesday, July 14th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Acquisition contracts in the spotlight today. Later on in this hour, the new head of the Federal Acquisition Service, Steve Kempf, speaking about those instruments about 2 weeks ago at a hearing of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and then a preview of Steve Kemp's conversation with Chris Dorbeck this afternoon on the Dorbeck Insider Show. The Dorbeck Insider reporting exclusively first that Steve Kemp's been named to lead GSA's Federal Acquisition Service. He's been the acting commissioner of GSA's of the FAS since Jim Williams left in April. The Federal Acquisition Service, Chris writes, is the big buyer for government. It oversees contracts such as the GSA schedule contracts, the Alliant contract, and the network's telecommunications contract. There were four finalists for the FAS job. Kemp was seen as the front runner. That surprised GSA Administrator, not surprised that GSA Administrator Martha Johnson would select Kemp as far as selecting somebody from inside the organization. That is according to the Dorbeck Insider blog, available at federalnewsradio.com. And we'll hear from Steve Kempf at that Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee hearing later on in the hour. We start, though, with our Cool Jobs in Government series. Cool and unusual jobs are all over the federal government, and one of them is at the National Zoo. Kristen Clark is the lion keeper and oversees other animals in her official capacity as animal keeper of great cats and bears. And I talked to Ms. Clark this morning as she was making her rounds at the National Zoo about her cool and unusual government job. How do you get to be the animal keeper of the great cats and bears at the National Zoo? It's not a job title that I would expect to see posted on usajobs.gov.
Well, fortunately, it is a government job. I got pretty lucky. I volunteered at the National Zoo for about 3 years. I had originally gone to school for pre-vet and then got away from that, decided I wanted to be a zookeeper, volunteered in several areas around the zoo. I also did some wildlife rehabilitation on a volunteer basis, and I got hired in 2005.
Do you have a typical day? And normally in a series like this, we would say, tell us about your typical day, but I imagine working with tigers and lions and so forth, there's not a typical day.
There is a basic routine that we follow, but it's true, there is no typical day. It's always, something always crops up that makes it a little bit exciting. Generally, in the morning, we come in and we check all of the animals that are in our care. Make sure that they're all alive and well, administer any medications, and then we go about cleaning up yards and putting out toys and enrichment for the cats. We have to study, you know, we obviously know a lot about their natural behavior and instincts, so we try to put out toys and other items out in the yard that sort of mimic what they would do in the wild. And then it comes to shifting the cats out after making sure that everyone is where they're supposed to be and no one's out in the yard where the cats are going.
How many animals do you have responsibility for, roughly? I know it changes on a fairly regular basis.
Well, I'm one of two primary lion keepers. Rebecca Stites is the other keeper, and we are primarily responsible for the three lions that we have. We have one male and two females that make up our pride. We also have some smaller animals, caracals, which are smaller cats, and coatis, which are similar to our raccoons. But the lions take up a lot of our time.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? Do they have more specific needs, or is it a climactic thing, or is it just because of the way that they are? What's the reason for that?
Well, they are dangerous animals. They know us individually. They can pick us out of a crowd. We do very specific training with them every day. Since we don't go in with them at all, we have to be able to see every part of their bodies without going in with them. So we focus a lot on training with the lions. We do also line them up for voluntary injections, blood draws, things like that. And also we have, Rebecca and myself, have developed protocols to form a pride out of three lions that were not together originally. So we have sort of created this pride here at National Zoo. And our male has bred both of the females, so we're sort of on pregnancy watch now. It's a little too early to tell, but so we're sort of looking forward to lion cubs later on in the fall, hopefully.
So your job responsibilities may grow by a couple of animals.
Yes, and that will make it much more interesting. Anytime you have a group of animals together, that always makes it a little more interesting because there's a social hierarchy there that you have to sort of keep an eye on, make sure everyone's getting along okay. There's been a lot of breeding going on. So once the cubs come, then that changes the dynamic completely, and we'll be inundated with lions, hopefully.
And I hope that is the case, and I would love to bring some kids down and have them check them out. So we'll keep an eye on that. As you say, fall is when that's likely to happen?
Probably the earliest would be late September. It's too early to tell, though, so I don't want to say 100%, but we're hopeful.
All right,
he has bred both.
We won't jinx it then.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Your job sounds on the surface kind of glamorous, but I imagine there are some responsibilities that you do that are not really that glamorous.
That's true. And actually, I think one of the common misperceptions about zookeeping is that either A, it's glamorous, or B, it's completely custodial, and it's actually a combination of both. One of the parts of our jobs is cleaning up after the animals, cleaning cages, picking up old food, making their diets and things like that. So it's, a lot of it is not glamorous. Actually, I was out in the rain today and in the pouring rain cleaning up the yard this morning, and I look very far away from glamorous at this point. So there are some dirty aspects to the job, but that's part of what makes it fun. So you have to, you know, it's not always glitz and the cool factor of it. There is a lot of getting dirty and rolling up your sleeves.
You mentioned that the animals can pick you out of a crowd. What's involved in developing a relationship with an animal like that?
Well, a lot of it is just them seeing us every day, but also they actually, since we do a lot of training with these individual animals every day, you build this relationship of trust between you and the animal. As I said before, we don't go in with them at all. So I have to basically ask them to do certain behaviors for me. I can't force them to do anything because I'm not there with them. I don't sneak anything on them. I ask them for a behavior. They do it. I blow a whistle. They get meat. The relationship is based on they trust that I'm not going to sneak anything on them. So it's based on a mutual trust level. Now, that being said, if I ended up in the yard with them at the same time by some awful twist of fate, that they wouldn't kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But when everything is the way it's supposed to be, we have this sort of mutual respect.
My guest is Kristen Clark. She's the animal keeper of Great Cats and Bears at the National Zoo, part of our Cool and Unusual Jobs in Government series on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. What kind of behaviors are you asking them to do? I would imagine it's not what people would ordinarily think, like asking them to do tricks or something like that.
Right. We don't do any sort of shows here.
Right.
To do. Everything that we do is to maintain the health of the animal. Traditionally, vets would have to come down and dart an animal of that size to anesthetize them. What we try to do as keepers is minimize the stress level on the animals as much as possible. So I ask them to open their mouths so we can check their teeth. We check their paw pads. We also ask them to sit, lay down. They can roll over on one side or the other so we can see every part of their bodies. This is particularly helpful when you've got a female that you think is pregnant. So you can check out her mammary areas. And also we are training them to take voluntary injections and voluntarily allow us to draw blood from them.
Mm-hmm. What's the hardest part of your job?
The hardest part of my job would probably be when you lose an animal or when an animal is sick. Other than that, it's, you know, if everyone's healthy, everything is great. There's nothing I don't like about my job. I enjoy talking to the public. We have a lot of public interaction. But when you have an older animal that you lose, that you've built a relationship with, that's definitely the most difficult part of the job.
With the title Animal Keeper of Great Cats and Bears, I would imagine a lot of the things that you've talked about, most people would expect to that you do, or people would say, oh, that makes sense. Is there a part of your job that if people knew it, that you did it, they would say, I had no idea that an animal keeper does anything like that?
Probably two parts. I don't think people really realize how much training we do with the animals. A lot of folks assume that we train them. If we do train them, we train them for some sort of tricks or things like that. I don't think they realize how much thought goes into minimizing the stress on the animals. The thought process that goes into finding out ways to utilize their natural instincts and behaviors so that, you know, the public can learn and watch these animals performing natural behaviors in the yard. And also the science that goes into managing these huge animals. Rebecca and I did a lot of research through other zoos and through different papers that were written on how to build a pride and, you know, starting from scratch. And there's a lot of research and science that goes into managing these animals that I don't think people really realize. A lot of people imagine a chair and a whip, and that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other great cats at the National Zoo? What qualifies as a great cat?
Well, there are really just lions, tigers, jaguars, and leopards, and that's it. We have a lot of smaller cats here at the zoo, so the only great cats that we have currently at the zoo are lions and tigers. We have Sumatran tigers.
Does it drive you nuts when people say jaguars? Is that like a pet peeve of yours or anything?
It's like they're adding an extra syllable in there.
Right.
And, you know, there is Jaguar the car, so you think that would help people out a little bit. But we get all kinds of crazy things at the zoo.
What is the wackiest question that somebody's ever asked you?
Usually, and this is a big one with boys, they'll ask if a lion and a tiger got into a fight, who would win?
I have a 10-year-old son, so that sounds like a perfectly logical question coming from him.
Yeah, that's the perfect age group for that kind of question.
Uh-huh.
So we try to answer it as scientifically as possible, but, you know, it always makes me laugh every time I get that one.
And the scientific answer to that question is?
Well, they would never run into each other in the wild, and then you have to boil down, you know, what species of tiger, you know, how big that species of tiger is.
Right.
If it's a lion, if it's a male lion or a female lion, and by that point you pretty much lose their interest. They just want to hear one or the other.
That's right. That's exactly what I expected too. And I can absolutely hear that question being asked at my house. Kristen, thank you very much for talking to me. You're live on the scene, aren't you? You're actually in the lions area at the zoo right now.
I'm right in front of our three lions outside right now.
Well, give them our best. And thank you very much for being a part of this series and for telling us about your job at the National Zoo.
Thank you for the opportunity.